100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast. One a day until the day I die.com. Not dead yet. Isn't that surprising? Have a little sip of tea. It's decaf. You can relax. I can too. Let's see. The weekly challenge this week was pick two, gorge, hockey, pallor, quiz, mellow, rogue, marsh, Caesar. Got a lot of responses today. One of them more responsy than usual, so that should be interesting. yes, offensiveness. Oh, I could tell you all about that. Let's just get right on with the story, shall we? I'll talk about it more at the end. Or maybe not. We'll see.
Hello, night people. Tom here. My story this evening is called Under the Sun. In the 1960s, network executives were hard-pressed to breathe a little more life into the hour drama. One of the formats they tried was the rotating hero. In the show The Name of the Game, three stars were rotated through the month: Gene Barry, Robert Stack, and Anthony Francioso. When Mr. Francioso exited the show, Robert Colt, Peter Falk, and Robert Wagner filled in. Not to be outdone, NBC ran a show called The Rogues, starring Gig Young, David Niven, and Charles Boyer. If you never heard of any of these actors, you're probably a millennial. And that's it for this week. Good night, America, wherever you are.
Hello. Hello, hello. This is Philip Norville Joe Carroll of NorvilleJoe.com and of the YA Books Podcast. This is my entry for the weekly challenge number 575 with a prompt of pick two. Here's my story. I'm not going to quiz you on the episode which offended me. It should be pretty clear when I tell you I have a 13-year-old son who has autism, and I don't consider him retarded. I realize the word retard has different meanings to different people. Some people might even name their cat Tard because of the physical disabilities it was born with, but then tell everyone it was actually short for tartar sauce because the cat suddenly got famous. I'm pretty mellow, so I've been offended one time in 9 years. That's a good average for this podcast. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.
This is Serendipity, and here's my story for this week. Everybody wants me on their team, on Pub Quiz Night. It's not that I'm particularly good at general knowledge, or that I know my stuff. If anything, I'm pretty useless at all things quiz related. And a bit of a liability, if you're stupid enough to rely on my answers. So, why would anyone want me in the first place? Simple. I'm a sore loser, and I really don't like being beaten. You'd never describe me as mellow, laid back, or chilled. More like homicidal maniac. So, when the punches start flying, you really want to be on my team.
Hi, everyone. Lizzie here, and this is my story for this week. I called it Rogue Quiz. Lily studied a lot for the quiz about nature. The prize was wonderful, a prize she had dreamed of for years. Well, she was only 9, but she had dreamed of it for quite a while. There was only one problem. Tommy. Tommy was an expert cheater, and he had won the last few prizes. She could barely look at his smirk. While Mrs. Blake was not paying attention, Tommy sneaked a peek at his cheat notes, and Lily poked a finger in his ribs. He screeched in pain. Tommy? Yes, he was disqualified. And that was the best prize ever. And this is my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcough.blogspot.com, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Tura Brazoinu here with a story on the subjects Marsh and Pallor. The boggarts of the Great Marsh are nasty, brutish, and short. They live mainly on bog lampreys, which they catch in this way. A boggart thrusts his bare arm into the mud. Lampreys bite on, and he hauls his arm out with the catch. Their greatest delight is waylaid travellers, whom they bury naked and neck deep. Lampreys burrow into the victim, whose screams are sweetest music. When he is almost, but not quite, dead, they haul him out, and eat lampreys and prisoner alike. Men in the surrounding countryside know them by their ghostly pallor, and kill them on sight.
And so we arrive at the end of April. But do we stop? Nay, I say thee nay. For here I come with yet another story to tell. Autobiography by Christopher Monroe. I'm writing this story on an unexpected day off. I've just gotten a new tattoo, and while it does sting a little, it's a good sting. I'm in a coffee shop looking out at the people passing by on 17th as I write. In an hour, I'll be watching the Flames play the Kings. A friend unexpectedly turned up with tickets. In the meantime, I'll write stories about a party bus. Overall, it's been a good day. Relaxing. Mellow. The sort I don't get nearly often enough. The sort I fancy I deserve. Mental note to do this more often. So ends the month, my friends. I hope that you had a good one. I hope that I had a good one. I hope that we all had a good one. See you again in the month of May.
Good morning, everyone. It's Jeffrey Fisher here for week 575, and it's a pick 2 this week. My story is entitled The Marching Morons. The March for Science had the most ironic name for a protest. The distance between fantasy and reality for the marchers was a gorge. Persons of pallor pranced down the street holding signs about Commander Data and kryptonite. One claimed that Hitler was a big supporter of science. If so, his interests were sharply limited to methods of destruction. Although these people clearly had too much time on their hands, they had no time to spare for actual science. They tolerated no dissension, no questioning of their conclusions. Their closed minds exhibited the opposite of the true scientific method. And that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Good morning, it's Richard, and thank you for asking. I am feeling quite a bit better. Oh, you didn't ask. Well, I'm still feeling better-ish. Anyway, pick 2 this week. So, my words of choice were Caesar and Rogue. And this is my story. It's called Chef's Recommendation. There's a rogue chef infiltrating local restaurants, holding a grudge and out for revenge. But nobody knows who he is or his motive. He never uses the same tactic twice. Today it might be listeria in the linguine. Tomorrow, salmonella in the Caesar salad. You just can't be sure where or how he'll strike next. Personally, I'm taking no risks. I only eat at McDonald's. It's crap, and I know it's gonna kill me, but at least I know what to expect. Besides, it's a cheaper death than eating a la carte at the local Michelin-starred joint. There you go. That's me done. Until next time, goodbye.
El Presidente says there isn't any problem. Cesar stared down the length of the gorge. He felt his own pallor. This was not some high school quiz, not some stupid hockey game. He was not going to feel mellow after this encounter, if he survived. This was a rogue monster from the haunted marsh, come to wreak havoc on his tiny town, where all the duly elected officials were pretending there was no problem and letting the bloodshed continue unabated. He saw movement ahead. He struck a match, lit the cigar his invalid father had given him, and hefted his machete. He blew smoke, then headed in.
In Washington, the Gorge was a temporary home to the Tulalip Community College field hockey games. The emotions and pallor of the players suggested that the quiz they were mandated to take prior to the first field game was not the mellow and benign quiz they expected. The team rogue, Duke, supplied the clean urine for the drug test. It came from the Girl Scout troop camped at the edge of the marsh. Caesar Disembogues brokered the deal. They all passed the test and were allowed to continue the game, winning by 5 points in a very energetic second period.
Take a trip with me to Planet Z.
Caesar lay outside the theater of Pompey in a pool of blood, his face a sickly white pallor. 60 men with knives had attacked him, 22 wounds on his body. All superficial. "You proved me right," mumbled Caesar. "Out of 60 senators, only 22 managed to nick me. It takes the firm hand of a dictator to land just one swift, fatal blow."
"That's not a fair assumption," said Brutus. "I'm pretty sure I hit you twice. Well, 3 times.
And Brutus stabbed Caesar in the chest, severing his aorta. "Much better," said Caesar. "Wait, is that you, Brutus? Ah, fucker."
And there you have it. A whole bunch of 100-word stories on that pick two topic. Which two did you pick? Well, they're out there. The next weekly challenge is on the topic of circus. Although, I don't know. We had offend. But then took a week. I don't know. What do you think I should say about that? What would be the most offensive thing to do? Say nothing. Go to oneadayuntilthedayidie.com for more information on the weekly challenge, this podcast, other stories during the week. I hope you enjoyed. I enjoyed. God, I've been enjoying the weather. Man, I'm going to go outside again. Even though it's a little bit of a dip, this is probably the last cold front of the year before it gets nasty. But man, that lounger is so awesome. Extension cord, patio umbrella, everything. I got to water the plants too and then clip some basil for my bagel. So I will see you next week. Thank you for listening. As always, keep it brief.